In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. During the summer months, the season of the church year after Pentecost, that's sometimes known as ordinary time, we get the option with the Old Testament lesson to just read through the narrative of the history of Israel over about 3 months. So right now, we're slowly working our way each week through the book of Samuel and the formation of the kingdom of Israel. This week, we pick up as the people are beginning to transform themselves from a loose confederation of tribes into a cohesive and centralized nation. And so they ask Samuel, their prophet, as well as the last of the judges, to appoint for them a king like their neighbors, the other nations around them have. Both Samuel and God are completely against their having a king. It's important to understand why, if we want to get anything from this passage that could relate to our own lives. It's not that God was inherently opposed to monarchy and would have preferred they had chosen some other form of government. God did, after all, go on to bless them as a people under the rule of both Kings David and Solomon. It has more to do with why they wanted a king and what they were willing to give up to get one. They wanted a king to be like the other nations, when God had chosen them to be set apart, different, with a different set of values. And what they were giving up was their unique trust of relying on God alone to lead them and on doing the hard work of all seeking God as a community. Before, God had led them into battle, with people carrying the Ark of the Covenant as the embodiment of God. Now, they say, a human king would lead them into battle, and he will claim credit for the victory. Before, God had guided them through the dark nights as the fiery pillar in the desert. Now they would turn to a person to lead them through the difficult times and put their faith in his judgment. They were setting aside the difficult work and personal responsibility of having to follow God. And in its place, they were taking up the shackle of having a person who would tell them what to do and where to go. God told them there would be an immense cost to this decision, that the king would demand their lives in return, their goods and their livelihood, their leisure and their peace, and even their sons to go into battle for him. The lesson for us is in that part of the story. God still wants to be the one to lead us through the difficult battles, the one we take the responsibility to turn to for guidance, the one we call out to in the dark nights. When we long to be like our neighbors, to take up their idols to lead us, to have their value systems, to follow their ways, there will always be a cost. When we seek to find our security and wealth rather than in God's providence, it will demand our leisure and our peace as a tribute. When we make for ourselves the ultimate goal to be like our neighbors and have what they have, it will cost us far more than we can imagine, more than we would ever have had to sacrifice in serving God. When we set up for ourselves some ideology to be our guiding light, rather than trusting and following God for our direction, it will eventually require the sacrificing of our children and their future to further that goal. God wants to lead our lives. It really is that simple in the story. God wants us to seek him, to follow, to trust, and to refuse to set up any other leader or principle or goal in that place. This is what the Hebrew scriptures mean when they describe God as a jealous God. God wants the place at the center of our lives because that's how things run best. That's how things were created to be. Jesus addresses this issue too in his house divided speech. There cannot be two competing forces you're trying to give authority to in your life. It will all fall apart. You see, it's understandable that people wanted a clear earthly leader like a king. Kings are visible, so following them is easier. And they make us feel powerful because they conquer the surrounding lands. But they're also corruptible. They are all the things God never wanted for us. It wasn't supposed to be easy or obvious. That's why it takes discipline, like prayer and discernment, to follow God. It was never about amassing power, but really about giving up control and the desire for dominance. Trusting, following when we don't know the way, letting go of control, stopping the impulse to measure our own success against what our neighbors have. These have always been the hallmarks of our faith, even going back to ancient times. They're difficult, and they seem counterintuitive in our world, but that's always been the case. It is also true that this has always been the only path that led God's people to freedom, to joy, and to the life abundant that He promised. Amen.